me try. Yeah. Hold on. Hold on. Okay, hold on. It's on. See if you can get on that. If it calls me, see if you can get on that. And I'll ask you to see if you can get on that. Okay?
Okay.
Let me.
Thank you. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Alrighty. Good evening. Welcome to Dr. Clifford and Friends. This is a part two version of our normal Tuesday night show that we had. We want our listeners to let you know we appreciate you. We had some technical difficulties for last night, and we're going to bring it to you. We have my co-host with me tonight, Jim. Jim, tell him hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
All righty. And we have some others who working on getting it on when they can, but we want to make sure that we bring you part two, Dr. Clifford and Friends. And so we want to pick up where we left off, and there was a story a few weeks ago. The Utah women's basketball team were in the NCAA tournament, and they were staying in northern Idaho. And during their stay, they had some racist men drive by the hotel where they were staying with Confederate flags, said some very nasty words, the N-word to them, and they were shocked. But they ended up moving closer to Spokane, Washington. The NCAA moved them quickly in that region, and they stayed in a different hotel. But it's a shame that they have to deal with that, Jim, at this time in their careers. Give me your thoughts on that, Jim.
Well, unfortunately, Cliff, this part of Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, is known for white supremacists having a stranglehold on that community. There are many alt-right and neo-Nazi groups known that currently operate in this area. So it's sad, but it should not be a surprise. And someone should have known about this, that we don't necessarily want to send any of our teams there.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You're right. Somebody should have known about it. And, hey, they got moved. They finished playing in the tournament. And so we're very happy for them. Now, tonight we want to, in our abbreviated show, we're going to move and talk about the WNBA draft. On our next show, we'll catch up on the CIAA, SIAC, softball, and baseball. But let's talk about the WNBA draft coming up April 16th. And many who haven't heard, Caitlin Clark was going number one, but today Angel Reese threw her name in the hat. So, Jim, let's just talk about some of our prospects who are going in the WNBA draft. Caitlin Clark, Jim, give us your thoughts.
Well, they've already printed jerseys for her for her team in Indiana because she's going number one. And I think, Cliff, that she likes the idea of going to Indiana because it's close to Iowa, mm-hmm. where she's from. So she's not going to be in L.A. or, you know, far away. She's going to be right there, probably within a four-hour drive of her home. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she's going to go number one whether what's her name came out or not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. She's going number one. Now, we got some other members in this class, Jim. Let's talk about where do you think Angel Reese is going to go?
Angel Reese is supposedly going for anywhere from 7 to 8, mm-hmm. which I believe is Chicago or Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. What do you see her game, Jim, as far as being suited for the WNBA? She's a very strong double-double machine in college, but it's 6'3". Well, she reminded me of Michigan's All-American a few years ago, Naz Hillman, maybe a little more athletic. But what do you see her strengths and her weaknesses heading to the WNBA?
That's a good comparison. She's probably, like you said, more athletic, but they're around the same size. It's like a 6'7", 6'8", power forward for men's in college basketball. You're going to have to move out. You're going to have to broaden your game with at least a shot where you have free throw in and shot 15, consistently.
Yeah, 15-footer. She's a good free throw shooter, so it seems like shooting should be able to become developed. So We'll see about that for her. But I'm happy for her. She's definitely brought light on college basketball. I think for her career, she made the right decision in transferring from Maryland to play for Tim Mulkey. And a lot of people, whether you love her or hate her, she's a baller, and she's definitely put LSU in the spotlight. But now, there's a few more. Let's talk about Tennessee. Is it Kalia Cooper? She's a ball player. Where do you see her going?
Yes. Tennessee, Rekia Jackson.
Yeah.
They have her going third to the Chicago Sky. I mean, mm-hmm. she's a ball player. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, regardless of their coach, Kelly Harper, getting fired, you know, I think they went about as far as they could go. Yeah. And, you know, she's a great player. And I think she will continue to prosper on the pro level.
I think so, too. I think she's one of those that people look over and talk about. Caitlin. There's another one coming out, Jim. And that is the forward from UConn, Edwards. I believe Aaliyah Edwards.
She's Aaliyah Edwards. Player.
Yeah. And people tend yes. to look over her with Payne being great there. But I think she's going to also be a steal. What's your thoughts on her?
I believe so, too. She's, underrated this year, you know, with Paige Beckert back. She played a little second fiddle, but she's going anywhere from 5 to Dallas to 7. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 through 4 is pretty much solid.
Yeah.
But 5 to 7. And we haven't talked about Cameron Brink.
Oh, yeah.
And she's better known as the girl who's in the New Balance commercial with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Stanford. And, from Stanford. And she is, any other year, probably been the top selection, but with Caitlin Clark, she's a solid number 2 to the Los Angeles Sparks, mm-hmm. where she will take over, I guess, for Nikki Ogumike. Mm-hmm. Who is moving on from L.A. Sparks.
Yeah. And Cameron Brick is about, 66? She got to put on a little muscle, but she's, mm-hmm. she's a player. And then from South Carolina, Cardoza, where do they see her going in the draft?
She also, Los Angeles has a 2nd and 4th pick.
Okay.
So she also will be going to probably Los Angeles Sparks.
Okay.
Wonderful. Where, you know, they lost some players, but I think with Cardozo and Brink coming in, they're going to position themselves to do well in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I think Cardozo is going to have to work on her range a little bit, too. She's 6'7", and she won't be the biggest thing around in the WNBA. But she's athletic and teachable, looks like, and coachable, and I really like her as a player. I hope she could finish her career here and get this last championship and see what's going on there. So, you know, Jim, one thing about the WNBA, and when you look at the timing, okay, the draft is what, 16th. They start the season, what, May? About 11th or 14th?
Something about 2-3 weeks later. It's crazy. Yeah.
So these young ladies who are playing into the Final Four, and most of them are in their first, in the second year or third year playing in the Final Four, that let's just take the season, they would have played over 35 games just to finish this season. And then they're turning right around and going to play a 44-game WNBA season plus another, 4 or 5 preseason games. So you're looking at 50, 86 games from October to the beginning of October. Am I counting correct, Jim?
Yeah, and then you got to count some playoff games as well.
Oh, boy. I didn't think about it. So, yeah, they can play 100 games within a year. And that's a lot of running. And some of them will also be in the Olympics. So, Caitlin Clark is a great player. She could still be in the Olympics. So, you know, I have to ask, when do the ladies get to rest?
But the one thing about the WNBA is they take a break for the Olympics.
Okay, so the rest of the players.
Not only the Americans, but you've got a lot of foreign players that will be playing in the Olympics. So they're going to take like a 3-week break like usual.
Okay, so they will get some rest. Well, hey, the WNBA is coming up very quickly. We wish all the young ladies well in the draft. And they have done a great job in their college careers. They have to be applauded, all of them. And we wish them well. We wish them well. Now, Jim, let's talk about the we want to congratulate our champions at all the levels in the NAIA basketball. The women of Dort in Iowa won the championship. Congratulations to them. Yep. And in the men's division of NAIA, the Tennessee Free Hardeman College won the championship, and they defeated Langston HBCU out of Oklahoma in the final. So congratulations to Free Hardeman. That's the NAIA. Of course, Division III in the women of New York University, national champion. Yep. And in addition to the men of Trine College, T-R-I-N-E, they won their first national championship. They're the graduate. Now, the school that should really be partying in NCAA Division II is Minnesota State. Their men and women won the Division II NCAA national championship. So, hey, congratulations. Kim, are you familiar with the school? This is the first time I've heard of Minnesota State. Have you?
I've heard of it. I don't know where it is, but I've heard of them. They do fairly well in the NAIA circles. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty much one of the powerhouses.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we leave, Jim, NAIA basketball, the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference is the only HBCU NAIA conference, and it's growing under the leadership of Dr. Kiki Baker-Barnes. One of the teams coming in had a sad note on their basketball coach, which just tell our audience about the school and what's going on there.
Wilberforce University, mm-hmm. and who fifth played at homecoming, we got to see them, had a coach, and he was, I think, 50s. He wasn't that old, mm-hmm. but he stepped down right after the season, and a month later he died. Hmm. And, you know, it's a sad time. I think we started the year with Wiley College losing their coach. Mm-hmm. This year, Mark Mitchell, mm-hmm. died about 2 weeks ago, a week or two ago.
Wow. Well, we definitely should not. Go ahead.
Tragic passing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll send our condolences to Wilberforce, the whole family there, as well as his personal family. Anytime we hear that, we are saddened. And then there was another player, a football player from the NFL, who passed recently. I know you play football. We all do. But what's the name of that player, Jim? The young man who passed at 35 years old. Do you remember?
Vontae Davis.
Okay.
And his brother is Vernon Davis, who played tight end in the league for about 12 years. Vontae, mm-hmm. also played with the Indianapolis Colts and the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. He was found dead at 35 in his mother's house.
Lord have mercy. Wow. Well, we're sad to hear that as well. We'll keep our prayers open for that young man as well and their family. Anytime you lose one like that and lose so young, it's just not a natural thing for a parent to be burying a child. So the NFL family, his family, all of us wish them our condolences as he rest in peace. That is for sure. Now, Jim, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up. Let's talk women first. This weekend, the Final Four is underway. Before we even talk about that, let's talk about the viewership in women's basketball. The other night, Monday night, Iowa versus LSU, the rematch from last year's state championship, drew over 12.3 million viewers. And I think that's the women to be applauded. Kim, it just seems like the time has come. What's your thought on the women's sport? But right now, women's basketball, wow. What do you think?
Well, you know, we talked the other day, and we talked about the games on Monday, when you can say Caitlin Becker, Juju Watkins, Caitlin Clark, and Angel Reese. Those are all household names in the game, all played on Monday night. You know, Caitlin Clark is fighting to win a championship for the state of Iowa and for her, you know, for her own legacy. Mm-hmm. Angel Reese was the champion last year. Paige Beckert had 2 years of rehab on her knees.
Yeah.
And she was thought to be the best player in the game, you know, before Caitlin Clark came along while she was injured. And Juju Watkins is a freshman who we heard about. She went to school with LeBron's son. We heard more about her than him, actually. And, you know, she is a player that she's on track now. If she continues to grow and everything, she has more points now than Caitlin Clark had in her freshman year. So you have all these things coming together to have 12.3 million watchers, and at one point it was 16.1.
Wow.
This is the biggest game, men's or women's, ever.
Now,
even that second game with USC and UConn, they had, I think it was the third most watched game ever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the women are doing a great job of marketing their game. And as I said before, I don't think you could have named four players on the men's Final Fours team like those names roll off. You can't.
Yeah. Jim, I believe it's because, you know, people as fans, college, love to fall, or used to fall in love with a four-year star. That is eroded in the men's division. Got one pro early, one and done, which is going on now for 5, 7, 10 years. But women's game, you get to fall in love with an Aaliyah Baldwin, Asia Wilson, now Kate Clark, Asia Reese. These people, you get to follow those stars 4 years, Paige Becker. And I think that is one of the bigger factors, you know, and that's making the great game grow. You can identify with a star for 4 years. What at least how we follow Caitlin Clark for 2 or 3. So, you know, It seems that way. You know, having has said that, women are taking up the transfer portal change like the men. I saw today there are over 300 women basketball players that have jumped into the transfer portal, but at least they're staying in college. So what are your thoughts, Jim?
Well, you know, Angel Reese transferred from Maryland to LSU, but I believe she stayed at LSU 2-3 years, so you got to know her. A lot of these guys, I mean, there's some guys, they're on their second and even third transfers. And you don't get to know those guys.
Yeah.
I think that hurts. You know, you said 300 women. I bet there are 3,000 men in the transfer portal.
I agree.
A lot of these guys that are transferring out of D1 schools won't get a D1 job.
Mm-hmm.
Playing. They won't get a D1 scholarship. Mm-hmm. They might have to go to D2, even D3. So, you know, sometimes you have to think. And I know, you know, I agree that they should have the right to transfer because it used to be, especially in football, when you had 110 scholarships, you could get buried behind somebody and they wouldn't let you go. They also wouldn't let you go to teams in your conference. But nowadays, guys are, you know, transferring within the conference, transferring.
Rivalry.
You know, if you're if you're at a MAC school, hey, I had a good year. I might be able to go play in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You're in the OVC. Hey, I might be able to play in the SEC. And it's gotten out of control. And I think it's hurt the game in terms of you don't know who's playing on your team anymore. I mean, University of Michigan fired Juwan Howard. All the players are leaving. They will probably have a team full of totally new players. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to follow that. And other schools are following suit. You know, you look at the Final Four teams. Alabama is full of transfers.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina State is full of transfers. They made it work. A lot of schools can't.
Yeah.
So they're pros and cons, but you just don't get that continuity that you used to have.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Speaking of men, okay, well, start with women. Coming up, Dawn Staley of South Carolina. They start out against NC State. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on that matchup there? NC State is kind of stuck up on everybody, men and women. But what are your thoughts on Dawn Staley matching up against NC State? South Carolina.
I think Dawn Staley should be able to survive this game against North Carolina State. You know, they have a good team. You don't want to overlook them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that Dawn has a great team. They'll come to play in that game.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, the other game, which will be Paige Beckers and the UConn Huskies versus Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. You know, we talked about the game on Monday being a record setting. This one might go even further.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Gino still making the claim that Paige Becker is the best player in the country. I can't go with that one, as great a coach as he is. This year, we just can't look past what it was done. So, she's a great player.
But also, he kind of backed off it because guess what? Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark got all the offers she wanted except for one, UConn.
Yeah.
So he's trying to say, hey, you were mad at LSU because of what happened last year. Don't be mad at us.
Trying to play some head game.
But, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I also put in all fairness, Jim, and I said it before in this show, I think that this, so people say, oh, they get great players, but this has to be one of Gino Arena's greatest coaching jobs. And I know they're UConn, but to get the injuries that they had, including to Fudd, Ozzie Fudd, early on, and still get this team to the Final Four for the 23rd or 24th time, is nothing short of phenomenal. Most of the players in 35 minutes a night, the start first five. And I just think this is the best coaching job. I mean, you can't take that away from Coach Gino Arena. Do I think they'll win it? Close. They're capable. But
they,
you know,
they've lost five starters since five players. Season-ending injuries since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So you're right. This is a great coaching job that Gino has done. And some say that if he wins it this year, he might step down off the mountaintop.
Mm. Well, he's been there long enough.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he's just one of a kind coach. There were some other great coaching jobs this year. Coach Neil Ivy at Notre Dame won the ACC tournament and won a game or two here in the NCAA. She was shorthanded. She had a phenomenal freshman, Hondego. But Olivia Miles also was a standout player. She's a junior, and she was injured all year and some other players. So I think Coach Ivy did a great job coaching this year. She should be applauded. The women's basketball.
And then, yes.
Yeah.
But let's stay on Notre Dame for a minute, okay. Because Hidalgo, I believe, played all year with the nose ring. Four minutes into the, yeah. I believe it was a regional semifinal game, she regional was told final. That she,
Semi,
she was right. told, she was told that she could not play with it, and she was out of the game 17 minutes in real time while they took it off. Yeah. Now, having coached girls basketball on a high school level, be it, I've seen it where you've had to tape up a nose ring or ear ring that's in your ear. But never have I seen a game start. And I think Hannah Hidalgo played all year with this nose ring.
Yes.
And you're told in probably the biggest game of your career, well, you're not supposed to have it in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I think it was Oregon State.
Yeah.
That they were playing against. You know, you never know. Did the coach might say, hey, you know, she's not supposed to have a nose ring. They go, oh, yeah. And then you had to take her out when that's something you should take care of before, because it's not something that was hidden. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's known to have played with it all year.
Yeah,
so I kind of sympathize with Nealey Ivey mm-hmm. on that one.
Yeah. Another great coach job this year. He's leaving. Coach Brooks at Virginia Tech. He lost his star, Fitz, going into the tournament. He got hurt in the conference tournament, didn't play the NCAAs, but they had a great year. Now, he's leaving, going to the University of Kentucky. He only took the job, and his top freshman is transferring. He just got in the portal as well. So, Coach Brooks did a great job. He was the first African-American male to take a D1 women's team to the Final Four. He did it last year, so hey, congratulations to Coach Brooks.
Also, yes.
On a great year. We don't talk about him a lot, but he did great. Now, the men, Purdue's there. I think Zach Edey let the world know, especially the coach from Tennessee, who didn't recruit him, that they made a mistake in the regional final game. He scored about 40-something and spoke up about Coach Barnes not recruiting him, even though he respects him as a coach. So he's there. He's a bona fide big man. And then who else do we have? NC State. What do you think of NC State, Jim? They are shocking the world, the men.
I love DJ Burns.
Yeah.
Not only his passion, his spirit, but that young man can play.
Yes, he can.
And they made me a fan early on in the weekend when they won a close game, and then they won the region.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, he's surrounded by – he's got some shooters there. He's got some athletes. And, you know, I think that – they play who on Saturday?
Purdue. They go up against Purdue.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Because one thing that Zach Edey has not done in this tournament is get any fouls.
Yeah.
I think Burns is going to get some fouls on him. I think he's going to get some fouls on Burns. Mm-hmm. But I think that will be a more even matchup than most people think.
Okay.
Because I think Burns is going to be able to make him work.
And so, who do you have? Who do you have in this game, Tim? I can stick with Purdue, but hey, NC State. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Okay.
Yeah, I find it's hard for me to take Purdue. You know, the last team that lost to number 16 team, Virginia, the next year won it. I think Purdue's been using that as their rallying call all year. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with the upset. I'm gonna go NC State. Right. In honor of Jim Valvano looking for somebody to hug.
Coach Jimmy V. Yeah. And then our other game, we have who's this? Connecticut. And who are they facing? Who's our other team?
Alabama, Cliff.
They can score. They can score.
I mean, Alabama has looked against Grand Canyon. They look like, man, why are they here? They struggling with Grand Canyon. Then they came out and beat all comers in the next two games. So hopefully that that Alabama team that can shoot the lights out and will shoot, even if they don't shoot the lights out, will continue to dominate in Nate Oates' coaching. Yeah. Again, he and NC State have a lot of transfers. The big guy, Grant, from North Dakota State, he played with one of my son's best friends who played high school basketball with at North Dakota State. And he transferred to Alabama, and the rest is history. Because they are looking athletic.
It amazes me. Of course, I guess not with the portal, Jim, you could rebuild so quickly. How they lost, he left Miller to the NBA.
Brandon Miller.
Now they're back here in the Final Four. So that's interesting. I think it's going to be a great Final Four. I kind of like, you have to decide, unless you have two TVs, which channel you want. They are running the men and women at the same time. I don't have a problem with that. However, the Final Four are staggered.
Not anymore. The women's Final Four will be Friday and Sunday. The men will be Saturday and Monday.
So the first 2 weeks of the tournament were run simultaneously.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell the story. I was watching the women a lot of the time.
I was.
Because their stories were compelling.
Yeah. All right. But, you know, we're going to be back. We have Kim Meadows Clark, president, owner of the new HBCU Basketball League Association, should be on the show next Tuesday as a guest. We're going to have our team back. We'll talk NBA with everybody. We want to thank our six engaged listeners tonight. And we'd like to thank you for coming back with us. This is part two from our show last night. And Jim, let's talk a little bit about the Jetsville show. Tell them about it. Coming Saturday morning before we get out of here.
Okay, you know, Horace Sheffield is our host, and we will be online with Horace Sheffield at, I believe, 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And the call number, well, it is, if you look up, yes, go ahead.
8 o'clock a.m. this Saturday morning, right? Eastern time.
Yes.
Okay.
And it is the Wake Up Call with Horace Sheffield. If you look it up, it's on, I believe, Facebook and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The Wake Up Call with Horace Sheffield.
All righty.
And you can hear us there.
Great. Jim, as well as Mark Jones. Mark Jones is a friend of the show. And looking forward to that. And we want to thank everybody. Again, we have President and Owner Kimberly Meadows Clark went on the show this Tuesday, Dr. Clifford and friends. She's the President and Owner of the newly formed HBCU Basketball Association. Will be starting this summer. So you want to come on, you want to hear, tell us all about it. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to have a special edition talking about finances and money, biblical principles, as well as practical principles of how we can do better with our money with Dr. Troy Levy. That should be a great one. And so keep that in mind. And until then, we'll see everybody back in a little less than 168 hours from now. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jim.